baptism, someone who's identifying with the Lord Jesus, recognizing them being set apart for God's purpose, having been translated from death to life. So that's going to be exciting, and let's celebrate nice and loud. I'm not sure if everybody can hear me back. Those who are straggling, come on in, please, and we get started real soon. All right, let's get started with some prayer, okay? Father God, thank you so very, very much for life. We have life because your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you love and are very well pleased with, was sent so that we could be spared from the wrath that is coming on sin, so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin unto death, and that we could have life and life abundantly. God, today, as we're remembering the sacrifice of your Son, as we're celebrating profession of faith, I pray that you won't let anything damper that. I pray that you will get the glory today and you alone, that we'll celebrate like crazy, that we'll love on one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. So a special thank you to everybody who helped us get moved in. My wife and our children and I, we got moved in and spent our first night in our house last night. You know what I'm saying? So that was special. So a super big shout out and thanks to the whole Stout family, especially Thaddeus and Rachel and Kayla. Kayla gave up her room so that we could have a room, okay? So you just give her a hug and say, you're special, all right? But anyways, no, seriously, thank you for that. Pray for Leah Stout also, who's at the hospital right now, dealing with some severe abdominal pain. And so Rachel's with her also, so just be thinking about them, okay? I just want to say thank you again for all those who helped with us, who are moving and taking good care of us. We really felt loved, and there are lots of people who helped in very different ways. There's so many names, but the Lord knows who you are, and he's going to reward you for your kindness. So thank you so much for being family to us. And thinking about today, we're going to be having a business meeting after service, and Pastor Thaddeus will be remarking on that right after the service, so just keep that in mind. On Sunday, June 23rd at 4 p.m., we'll be having a combined worship praise time with Galilee Baptist Church at Galilee Baptist Church. That time will culminate with a discussion and challenge, so please plan on attending this unique event. If you have not been to their church yet or have been a part of their praise and worship, it's a little different, and you better be ready to dance, okay? We went, and we broke it down in the front row, so I want to see everybody participating, okay? Even if it's just a little shimmy. Shoulder shimmies are all right. Okay. Rescheduled. Rickman House Servant Evangelism Project, 12th Street, will be serving dinner to Rickman House residents on May 10th. At 5:30 p.m., and they're looking for volunteers there, okay? Braden's Closet today and next week, Sunday, will be collecting the information that you see there, specifically clean clothes and new underwear and new socks, okay? So please consider donating to that. All right. Adult VBS, the annual adult VBS, May 15th, 16th, and 17th from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you can see some information there about the meals we'll be having and the designated speakers for each day. And also, the murder mystery dinner, okay? And so you see the information there. It's going to be Saturday, May 11th at 6 p.m. Ticket price is $25 or $40 per adult. And this is the last day you can purchase your tickets, okay? Last day you can purchase your tickets. There will be no tickets sold at the door, all right? So with that being said, just real quick, a word from our sponsors. Okay?
You know, Mom, I've been wondering lately, what should I get you for Mother's Day?
Oh, my dearest, sweet little one, I don't need anything. You've been a joy to me since the day you were born. All I need is your love.
Oh, Mom, we all know I'm the favorite.
Are you searching for the perfect Mother's Day gift? One of the promises to be fun and unforgettable. Something your mother would truly enjoy. For a limited time only, we've got a solution for you. Buy your mother a ticket to our annual murder mystery dinner. She will thank you for the laughs, memories, and you'll be proud that you got her something really that she likes. Tickets are available this afternoon in the Welcome Center. So thank you.
All right.
Oops, sorry.
So I promise we're not selling advertisement time, okay? So you're not going to hear from Amazon next week, all right? It's not going to get worse. Pastor Thad's going to come up here. He's going to start wearing logos, right? Nike up here. No, okay. Anyways, so just keep that in mind, okay? Murder Mystery Dinner. That's going to be the benefits. It will be benefiting, excuse me, the Kentucky mission trip in July, okay? VBS, July 7th through 11th. It's going to be volunteers needed, and you can sign up to help with that in the Welcome Center. And you can see Sister Angie Layton for more information. You can see the rest of the information there regarding the youth mission trip, ladies' Bible study, young adult group, and then also softball. First game is going to be this Tuesday, if I remember correctly. And so looking forward to having some people come out and encourage one another and just have a good time in the Lord. All right, pickleball also, men's prayer breakfast, a whole lot of things to get involved with. And so anyways, as we've been thinking about the theme of being salty, right, who we are, we understand what that means now, and so now we're talking about how to apply that saltiness, biblical saltiness, to our relationships with one another here as a church, okay? So one of the things I'd like to challenge you with today, we've got what seems to be more visitors. I don't know where these people keep coming from, but I praise God that you're here. That's awesome. I praise God that you're here. That is so cool. I like that. So you better watch out because we have a tendency to hug and to, no holy kisses, okay? But to hug, shake hands firmly, okay? Somebody just about broke my hand earlier today. So, but anyways, I just want to encourage you, get up, encourage somebody that you don't recognize. And then also today, encourage somebody you do recognize too, okay? Encourage somebody you do recognize too. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and you can get together, greet each other warmly, and then we'll get started with our service. Father God, you are incredible. You're incredible. You're bringing people here, and I don't know what their stories are. For the people who've been coming for years, I'm learning what their stories are. God, thank you so much for the stories that have Jesus the Christ as the star, as the focal point, because those stories are always good stories. So, Lord, as we're learning what it is to be salty, learning what our identity is as followers of you, as we understand you in the person of the Lord Jesus, your Son, who you sent, that we might have life. God, I just want to get out of the way of what you're doing. I want to learn what it is to love you and follow you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to love my neighbors, my family, in that same fashion. So, Lord, regardless of what we go through, keep that deeply planted in our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, as we praise and worship and lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Tell somebody you love them. Say hi. Greet them. Say what's up. Hug them.
All right, if we could find our seats, if everybody could find your seat. If everybody could please find your seat. It's the first Sunday of the month. You know, I always enjoy the first Sunday of the month. I hope you do too. As on the first Sunday of the month, we remember what our Lord has done for us through his sacrifice on the cross. And so today, as we remember, I just wanted to remind you and encourage you, or if this is your first time with us, communion is all about our remembering Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us so that we could be forgiven for our sin. So as we take communion this morning, communion is only for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you cannot earn any favor with God through taking communion. In fact, just the opposite is true. 1 Corinthians 11 says that you eat and drink damnation unto yourself. Because if you're trusting taking communion to bring any kind of favor with God, then you're trusting the wrong thing. First, you need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And then, once you have that relationship with him, then you are invited to take communion. And that is to remember what he has done. And I just want to read, actually, from Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 5. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." In 1 Corinthians 11, and also Jesus in his statements to the disciples, he said, "Do this until I return. Do this until I come." And so as we take communion this morning, we are remembering him until that day where he comes back and reclaims us as his own. So there are two cups that are stacked. Make sure you get both cups, the top and bottom cup. The bottom cup has the bread. The top cup has the juice. And if it's reversed, you'll get a wet cracker, but that's okay. You can deal with that. So, Bo, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine?
Thank you.
We were close. I was hoping we'd run out of cups and have to go fill a few extras up. The night that the Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, this do in remembrance of me." Cole, could you ask a blessing? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And now this morning we're going to celebrate through song what our Lord has done for us. And so as the praise team comes to lead us in singing, let's stand together. We're going to sing "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," and then we're going to sing "O Glorious Day," remembering his death and anticipating his return.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore.
Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one, Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
For our offering today, we have a baptism. Isn't it great, both ordinances that the Lord has given for the church to do? We can do them both today. So, and the water is nice and warm, so Don and I might just hang out back here the rest of the service. So, well, this is Don.
Buckmaster.
And Don and I, we've known each other how long now?
About two, three months. Yeah.
And Dawn told me that she trusted Christ as her Savior in October.
Yes.
And she was at a very low point in her life, and the Lord saved her that day. Now, since that day, she's been seeking to grow in her relationship with the Lord. And she came to me a couple weeks ago and said that she wanted to be baptized to show her faith. And so I'm excited for Dawn. Dawn's had a lot of struggles in her life.
She's been involved in the web of sin. But you know what? Her standing here right now is a testimony to the fact that God is able to save. And as Dawn stands here, she is not gaining her way to heaven today. That's been secured through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's already been done.
That's right.
What she's doing today is she's showing you, making a public statement about her faith. See, the Lord Jesus, who is perfect, who is the Savior of all people, he himself was baptized. And why was he baptized? To give an example to us. To show us how to fulfill all righteousness. That means that this example, it's when we get saved, it's all his work.
Yes.
But when we get baptized, it's our opportunity to show that he saved us.
Yes.
And it's kind of like with a married couple. You don't have to wear a wedding ring to be saved or to be married. But because you're married, you want to wear that wedding ring so everybody knows. Well, today Dawn is making her profession of faith to all of you, to let you know that she has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. So, Dawn, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
And, Dawn, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise God.
Can you do that again?
Let's pray for Dawn. Lord, I thank you for Dawn's statement of faith, for her willingness to obey you through believer's baptism. And now, Lord, as she enters into the next days, we know that Satan is a vicious adversary, and he would love to attack her and to harm her, to destroy her. But Lord, I thank you that you are greater than Satan. So I pray that we as a church body would surround Dawn, that we would provide help, that we would provide encouragement, and that she would know that she is not in this life alone. She has a church family that wants to help her in every area, that we want to fight alongside her against the devil, and we want to rejoice with her every time, Lord, you give her victory. So we just pray that you would help Dawn to continually and faithfully serve you, and that this would be one of many steps she takes in obedience to you. It is done as you have commanded this morning, Lord, and yet there is room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for life and just for our family and the blessings upon us. We thank you for the things that you supply to us each day. And we pray, Lord, that you just be with us as we go through this service, that you get honor and glory through all things that's said and done. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would accept you. We pray that you'd be their pastor. Just give him remembrance of things he studied, that he could preach boldly, that our hearts would be receptive. We pray for this offering. We just pray that you would allow us to use it to do the things that are within your will, and that your service could benefit from it, and that you'd bless the ones that give, the ones that cannot. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I call, before I ever cry, you answer me from where the thunder hides. I can't outrun this heart I'm tethered to.
with every step I collide with you. Like a tidal wave rushing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce, you cannot fail. The only thing I found is through it all, you never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. At every turn, I come face to face with you. Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. You chase me down, you seek me out. How can I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How can I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How can I be lost when you have called me found? Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce, like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. Your love is fierce.
Your love is fierce.
Your love is
I've seen the attacks of the devil, and they're pretty fierce, aren't they? But I've also experienced the love of God, and the love of Jesus is even more fierce. Thank you, Paul, for singing that song. It's one of my favorites. To just get excited, right? Just get excited about our Lord and what he does. So at this time, we will dismiss our children to children's church. And as the children head out to children's church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. We are in the second week of our series on the book of Titus, which is teaches us how to have a mentor-making church. And as we study this, I hope that you learn some great things about both God's expectations for the church, but also get excited and challenged about what God would have you personally doing. Herman and Henrietta, they were going through their brand new house. It was a house that Henrietta had paid for with her money. Henrietta was constantly reminding Herman that it was her money that had paid for the house. In each room, as they toured the house, she said to her husband, Herman, if it were not for my money, we wouldn't be here. Poor old Herman didn't say a word. That afternoon, a truck delivered to the house a load of furniture, furniture which Henrietta paid for with her money. After the furniture was in place, the couple toured the house again. As they observed each room beautifully appointed and magnificently decorated, Henrietta reminded her husband, Herman, if it were not for my money, this furniture would not be here. Poor old Herman stood there in silence. Late in the afternoon, a truck came with a special piece of furniture, which was to be the focal point of the den, a combination stereo television computer, all wrapped into one gorgeous piece of furniture, which Henrietta paid for with her money. When it was in place, Henrietta again addressed her beleaguered husband and said, if it were not for my money, that piece of furniture would not be here. Finally, Herman spoke. He said, honey, I don't want to make you feel bad, but if it were not for your money, I wouldn't be here either. Titus chapter 1. This morning we're going to deal with problem people. That's what the text deals with, problem people. Anybody here ever have a problem person in their life? All right, like 14 of you. All right, you 14, I'm going to preach to you. Everybody else, your life is good. You can go home. No, don't. No, we won't do that. But let's start reading in verse 10. Titus chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, or for dirty money. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let's pray here together. Lord God, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, we all have problem people in our lives. And Lord, many, if not every time, it's because they are people that are not abiding by sound doctrine. And so, Lord, I pray that we, this church, this body, us as a collective group of believers, would all individually decide that we will live the way that you want us to live, according to your word, with sound doctrine, so that we will not be one of these problem people. So bless your word in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're told here right off the bat. I'm going to spoil the ending, okay? Is that all right? Just spoil the ending right away, all right? So, you know, kind of like, you know, when you're going to watch a movie, somebody walks in the room and, oh yeah, that person dies. Oh, thanks. Now I don't care to watch it, right? Well, I'm going to spoil the ending of the message, okay? What do you do with problem people? It says you exhort and convince them. With sound doctrine. Exhort. Exhort means to point out the fault. Exhort means to tell them, show them. And then you convince them, you share with them the truth, and it's all with sound doctrine, with the truth of God's word. So here's what we find when we have problem people in this passage. It gives us three basic characteristics or works that they do. Number one, they have problematic promotion. Problematic promotion. Okay, they are going to promote things that are not God's. They'll claim they're from God. They'll argue they're from God. But yet they are not from God. See, if we want to be a mentor-making church, we cannot be people who have problematic promotions. If we are promoting things that are problematic with Scripture, then we will never truly make mentors. We'll make a bunch of followers that can only repeat the wrongs that we have said. And so, if someone is not promoting the Scripture, then there is a problem with their promotion. So, here's the first thing the passage tells us. They are unruly. They're unruly. That means they do not abide by the law of Scripture. So if you're unruly, you do not abide by the law of Scripture. In 1 Timothy, see, 1 Timothy would be a parallel book to Titus, because in both books, Paul is writing to a pastor, telling them how to order their church the way that God wants it ordered. And so both of them are really, we could study the book of 1 and 2 Timothy and have a mentor-making church from those books as well. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, he writes and says, "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling." I just like those words, vain jangling. Can you just imagine what, all right, so without even knowing the definition of it, you're imagining vain jangling like, blah, 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 right? I mean, isn't that what you hear? You know, vain jangling. Because here's what happens when you swerve, you go off of the path of the truth. When you get away from sound doctrine, everything you say is blah, 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 blah. I was not speaking in tongues there, by the way. For those who are right now, you're either getting really upset or really excited. No, 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 I was not speaking in tongues there. I was vain jangling, okay? Verse 7 in 1 Timothy 1 says, "Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." So here's what happens with the unruly. They use the word of God, but they don't use it lawfully, rightly. In 2 Timothy, there's an admonition to rightly divide the word of truth. And when we have problematic people, they will have problematic promotion, and they're unruly because they don't use the law of God lawfully. They use it for their own purposes. So, letter B in your bulletin, they are vain talkers. Vain talkers. They speak of religion and religious matters, but they do not do them. They talk a good talk, but they don't walk the right walk. In 1 Timothy, again, chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." You know that? If you're here this morning and you say, "Well, I'm righteous because of things that I do, because of my ability to keep the law," then the law is not for you. Because here's what the law does. The law points out to me, I am a sinner. And when I go to the law, I have never found myself righteous. When I've gone to the law, it points out to me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. We are all gone out of the way. We are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the law continually beats me over the back with that. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and that's a specific reference to homosexuality right there, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So what does the law do? The law says you're not living according to sound doctrine. So how does the law work? It shows me my utter and complete failure. And here is sound doctrine. I cannot do what God wants all by myself. I will never be righteous because Thaddeus Stout is righteous. The law says I need someone else to give me their righteousness. And here's what Jesus Christ did. He gave each one of us who will receive it his righteousness. And as a righteous person in Jesus Christ, I use the law lawfully. Because I don't look to the law to save me. I look to the law to condemn me. But praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because praise God, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be confident right now. You are in the righteousness of Jesus. And it's his righteousness that you lean on. But there are some who are vain talkers and they do not teach that. They teach that you can live however you want to live. They teach that you can earn righteousness, that you can buy righteousness, that you can do something or have someone else other than Jesus give you righteousness. But the truth is, when I go to the law rightly, I understand Jesus is the only one who fulfilled the law. Vain talkers will say something different. And then there are deceivers. Christianity is in the process of being hijacked by deceivers. They excuse sin, promote unrighteousness, condemn biblically authentic morality. They condone lasciviousness, behavior, and unrighteous passions. There are deceivers who flat out, they take the word of God and they twist it. Have you ever heard someone say, well, Jesus was only loving. He never condemned sin. You've ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, I've heard it. You know what the truth is? Jesus has this woman that's thrown down in front of him. She's been caught in adultery in the very act. Okay, where's the guy? Oh, they didn't bother to get him. They only got the woman. And so Jesus knows that this whole thing is out of sorts. It's not being done correctly. And so he does not excuse her sin. Instead, when he starts writing in the sand, and as he does, everybody leaves, and then he looks up and says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, ah, they're not here. And he says, I don't condemn you either. And then he says, go and sin no more. Did Jesus excuse her sin? No, he confronted it. And he lawfully told her to go and live a different life, which would have been a life of repentance. The woman at the well. He meets this woman who's been married 5 times. The man she was living with at the current time was not her husband. And Jesus, as he discusses with her, he points her sin out to her. He didn't gloss over her sin, but he offered her hope of the fact that he is the living water. He that drinks from my well will never thirst again. And she believed him. And she went and told others about him. And there was repentance in her life because she realized Jesus dealt with her sin. All right. Jesus, the truth about him is that when we believe in him, there's a whole list of things in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. Behaviors, attitudes, actions that we should not have as believers. And you know what? Jesus, when we trust him, he will condemn all of that activity in our life, but he condemns that activity in our life so that we can be found faithful in our relationship with him. Now, if you have children, Every once in a while, your children will do something wrong. All the kids that are sitting up here in the front, they're like, oh, what? Us? No. Right? Oh, you must be talking about some other children, not us. The truth is, every single one of us, every once in a while, have to confront our children, either for an action, something they do, an attitude. And when we confront them, we don't expect for them to answer back and say, huh, you don't love me because you're saying this. Because if they do that, then you come down hard, right? And what do you always tell them? I'm telling you this because I love you, right? Well, that's what our Lord does. He demonstrates his love, not just by giving himself, but he sent the Holy Spirit to do some things, to comfort us when we're going through difficulties, but also to convict us when we sin. Deceivers will say that God doesn't do that. But because we're a mentor-making church, we will not fall into that deception. We will know the truth. The second thing about problem people is they have perjured purity. Perjured purity. So if you're standing in court and you're on trial and you give a testimony that's not true, you are guilty of perjury. So here's how some problem people live. They perjure their purity. They do it by perjuring their own claim to righteousness. So he mentions three kinds of people here. He mentions the circumcision. Now, we don't have to deal with this in our society, all right? We have different issues we deal with. But the circumcision were a group of people who were circumcised at birth because they were done so according to the law of Moses, and they thought because they were of that circumcision, they were now more righteous than those who were not circumcised, and they thought that through their flesh, they have gained greater favor with God. Their righteousness was derived from their religious actions. If you derive your righteousness from your religious actions, then you are perjuring your purity. Because your purity does not come from yourself. It comes from your adherence and obedience to Jesus Christ. Then he mentions the commandments of men that turn from the truth. Okay, this is kind of crazy when I say this. Some of you are going to be like, what? People actually teach this? Yes, there are people that teach this. There are people that teach that you cannot have caffeine. And all the coffee drinkers said, woe is me, if that were the case. All of the Mountain Dew slammers out there, woe is me. There are some that teach no holidays, no birthdays, no divided garments on women, no beards on men. And they're saying that that's righteousness. You know what they're doing? That is called a commandment of men that turns from the truth. They're perjuring their own purity. Because that's not how purity is obtained. A mentor-making church follows the scripture by teaching sound doctrine. Therefore, it does not allow teaching or promote belief that is contradictory to sound doctrine. Clearly, God expresses things, and we teach those things. And we don't teach our own thoughts. There was a Bible college. The president of the college got up, this is in the 70s, and he was speaking to the male student body. And he said, I'm looking out at you, and I see men wearing beards. Go clean yourself up and look like a Christian. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When Jesus was crucified, what did he have? What did they pull out? A beard. I can't think of any more Christian way to look. Because a Christian is a little Christ, right? See, there are people who, they get into the commandments of men, and they turn from the truth. So in letter D in your bulletin, unto the pure all things are pure. I mean, isn't that so true here from verse 15? Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Now, I'm going to be honest. It's easy for a church that attempts to be biblically sound to condemn things the Bible condemns. Does the Bible condemn anything? Oh, yes. It's a big book. It condemns a lot of behavior, doesn't it? There's enough in there that we don't need to make anything more up. Right? The Bible condemns enough that you and I, we don't need to be like, oh, well, God should have gone a little bit further with that one. No. And if you think that, you have perjured your purity. Here's what happens. In their efforts to create a mold of purity to fence the congregation in and control them, sometimes they create mimickers of themselves and not mentors of sound doctrine. At 12th Street, we do not want to create mimickers of ourselves. Because someday, we will fail the people that are mimicking us. So then what do they have to mimic? Our failure. But we want to mentor people into sound doctrine, because anyone who lives according to sound doctrine can show that to others. And even when we fail, when we teach sound doctrine, because part of sound doctrine is a wonderful truth that every single one of us will fail. We are not looking for a standard of perfection in ourselves. Praise God. If we were demanding a standard of perfection, then we're all done. The truth is, this is awesome. When we mentor according to sound doctrine, we understand that people will fail because we fail. And a mentor-making church rallies around those who fail when they repent and offers repentance. So what happens when they don't repent? We'll get there in just a second. Here's what happens. They imagine evil things. These people that they make up all these rules and all these standards that are extra-biblical. And they sound good because, you know, I don't know why this one sounds good, but there are some churches that are like, women cannot wear the divided garment. Well, that's so stupid. Rachel and I were out skiing in Colorado. We're on the chairlift, and there's a group of ladies that are skiing in skirts. Okay, first of all, brr. And so we're thinking, okay, they probably got snow pants on underneath, you know, let's hide the divided garment, which if you have to, it's stupid. But then one of them fell. No divided garment. Now, what would have been a little more modest? The divided garment or the skirt? Because nowhere does the Bible condemn. In fact, the Bible never uses the term divided garment. You know that? Well, how do people... Divided garments, pants. All right, for those who don't know. Good, you didn't grow up in one of those churches. Praise God, you don't have that baggage. See, here's what happens, though. In their minds, they start to think this. They imagine evil things that are not evil through the use of human imagination. You ever met somebody... The water boy's mom, Bobby Boucher's mom, Dick Clark, that's the devil. Football, that's the devil. Now, she might be right in those instances, but We can't be looking and always trying to find evil in everything. Because you know what? If you look hard enough, you're probably going to find evil in things. But unto the defiled, all things are defiled. So in our interactions with other people, if you want to make mentors, you can't be looking for all the wrong things they're always doing so you can be pointing it out to them so that you can be showing them, you are defiled, you are defiled, you are defiled. Unto the pure, all things are pure. So what do? Yes, we do point out sin. We're going to get to that. That's there. But as we're making mentors, we have to look at our own life first. Is everything evil with me? Do I consider myself better than everybody else? You know what that means? I don't know the truth. Because when I understand the truth, I say what Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. I say what David said, I am but a worm. Look at verse 16. They think they know God, but they are unable to distinguish what is right and wrong. So what do we do with these problem people? Titus 1:13, rebuke them sharply. Rebuke them sharply. So they may be sound in the faith. We don't rebuke because we're saying we're better than. We rebuke them to say, listen, you're off. We want to help you get back on. Because that is always our goal. Our goal is always restoration. Our goal is never punishment. God never handed the stick of punishment over to us. He only handed the rod of correction, the staff of guidance. He will punish. Is that what he said when he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord? And so we need to trust that he will do this with people. But we do rebuke them sharply so they can be sound in the faith. And then we got to go to chapter 2, verse 1, because when Paul wrote this letter to Titus, there were no chapter breaks. And I believe chapter 2, verse 1, it belongs right with the rest of chapter 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We are to be speaking things to people that help them learn sound doctrine. Next week, we'll dive into these good teachings that help with sound doctrine. So what do we do with these problem people who, when we rebuke them sharply, they don't listen, and when we teach them sound doctrine, they rebel against sound doctrine? What do you do with them? Well, the Bible gives us this incredibly difficult but extraordinary cleansing process. We go to them and talk to them. I guess if you're going to rebuke them sharply, you have to talk to them, right? And if they don't listen, then what do? You bring two or three witnesses, right? And if they still won't hear, you bring it to the church with a broken heart. And the church prays for the destruction of their flesh into the hands of Satan so that they may be saved at the day of judgment. We pray that God would take them home rather than continue to live in their sin. Because it would be far better. There's an example of this in Scripture that's difficult. Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they had some land, they sold it. And at that point in time in the church's history, the church is brand new. And they're excited about what God is doing. I mean, people are getting saved, baptized, being added to the church, you know, in one day, 2,000. Then there's another day, 6,000. And it's just like, woo! Things are booming. And so they're teaching the truth and things are happening and people are taking all their goods and selling it and giving it to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira are like, we got to get on this train. And so they sell everything that they have and they look at the sum total of the money and they're like, woo, that's a lot of money. Let's give the church most of it. No problem with that, folks. But when they gave the church most of it, they lied and said, we're giving all of it. They're confronted by Peter. Did you sell this and give all the money to the church? Yes, gave all the money. You mean when you sold your land, you gave all the money and there are other apostles there? Yes, we gave all the money. And see, here's what the Lord had to do for the purity of the church, because this is why we pray for those who are problem people who won't repent and won't turn from the truth, turn from the lie and turn to the truth. Here's what we do. We pray for their flesh to be in the hands of Satan for its destruction, so they may be saved at the day of judgment. It's better to die physically and live spiritually. Ananias and Sapphira, on their own accord, separately, both lied, and God struck them dead. Can you imagine the fear that would be in church if somebody's like living rebelliously? And then he gets pointed out to them, and they're in church, and God's like, whoosh. And you got people, first of all, nobody would go to church, right? I mean, that would be the end of church, right? You know what that did to the early church when God did that? They went, woo, you don't lie. You don't try to cheat God, because you can't cheat God. And then you know what else it did? It brought unity to the church. Because if we don't deal with problem people, then we are the problem. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. It's awesome. It's powerful. I thank you that it teaches us how to handle problem people. And Lord, we cannot be a mentor-making church if we don't, because we will just reproduce more problems. So God, help us. I thank you that this morning we've been able to celebrate Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. I thank you that we've had a great example of that through Dawn and her baptism today, that she stood in the water identifying with your death. She was put under the water identifying with your burial, and she came up out of the water identifying with your resurrection. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they don't even know it, but they're a problem person. And this morning, Lord, you want to save. You love us so much that you gave your life for each one of us. You allowed your body to be broken, your blood to be spilled, so that we could be called the children of God. And so, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that right now they would cry out to you and say, Lord God, please forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and save me. I don't want to be the person I have been. I want to be the person you have called me to be. And Lord God, I know that you, in your infinite power and wisdom, that you will save them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church, that 12th Street Baptist Church would be a mentor-making church where we are faithful in our handling of problem people. And Lord, if any of us are a problem person, convince us of it, convict us of it, and help us to confess it as sin. And then, Lord, we will enjoy a conversion of our life to be made into the image of Jesus Christ and to be freed from that sin. So Lord, as we close out this service, I thank you that we can sing a truth that Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to connect you with someone that could talk to you about that. And let's celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven us.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord,
indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
He washed away all the sin and all the shame. He washed it away.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and he raised his life up from the dead.
Jesus.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Dawn Buckmaster has come forward to join the church based upon a profession of faith. And we've all seen her get baptized this morning. So if I could have a motion to receive Dawn into membership, I have a first, a second. All in favor, say amen. Amen. Dawn, welcome to the 12th Street Baptist family. Dawn, why don't you go ahead and go stand at the back? So as you head out, here's how things are going to work right now. If you are a member, we're going to ask you in 15 minutes to come back in for a business meeting, very important business meeting. And so we ask all of our members. If you are not a member, this is a business meeting that we cannot have non-members attend. So if you're not a member, it's okay, go home, celebrate the Lord. Members, please stay. We're going to have a discussion that will start in 15 minutes. But if you have children that are in junior church, pick up your children. And then after about 10 minutes or so, we have several of our teenagers who have volunteered to watch the kids during the business meeting. And pizza, actually, I saw them come in, just got delivered for all the kids. So sorry, adults, you don't get any. But So all the kids will have pizza in the back, and we'll make sure all the doors stay locked. So, but parents, you need to pick up your kids from junior church first and then hand them off to the teenagers. The teenagers will be back there in about 10 minutes, and we'll start our business meeting in 15 minutes. Let's go to the Lord in benediction. To the great God, the only wise God, be all glory, power, and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Make sure you greet Dawn and welcome her into the church family.